The saddest part, David and Julie, is that they came carrying a trash bag. A trash bag. See, Nelson Mandela said it so clearly. All of us in society are judged by the way we treat our children. Well, guess what? Kids in foster care, they don't belong to any of your listeners and viewers, and they don't belong to me. They belong to us, to us. And for me, I wanted to let my children know that our legacy is about what we give and not what we take. And so with that, we started a movement, and that movement was to eliminate trash bags in foster care. And since that time, 13 years ago, I'm happy to say that with the help of amazing humans, we have gathered and we have delivered over 300,000 backpacks with all the essential items to all the kids throughout our country, all 50 states, by the way, DC and Puerto Rico.
I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. Hey, folks, welcome back to Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
You almost missed the line that time. It was close. It was close. You had a little off day today.
Today,
folks, we're talking about a topic that's very close to our heart. Julie and I, as anyone knows out there, we adopted two children. We're plugged into the foster community. And there's a couple things we want to mention before we introduce this guy. And that is that 390,000 children in this country are in the foster care system. 700 children a day, unless there's an update to that, enter the foster care system. Many of those kids take, move, and get their belongings in garbage bags. Now, here to talk about improving the foster care system and making sure there are no more trash bags for our kids is our friend and the founder of Comfort Cases, Rob Scheer. Rob is the author of A Forever Family, Fostering Change One Child at a Time. He's a host of his own podcast called Fostering Change. He's been featured on The Ellen Show, The Today Show, The View, and a recent episode of Apple TV's documentary, Dads. Rob, it's good to see you, as always, whether it's in person or here on the screen.
I know. It's so great to see you, David. And Julie, it's always a pleasure to see your beautiful face.
Well, thank you. Well, one beautiful face. The other one tries to keep up.
She's trying really hard,
you know, to keep up. Now, we always say it's a beauty and the beast. But Rob, I want to talk to you a little bit. People who don't know, and I'm quite certain a lot of our listeners out there don't know, tell us about how you got to Comfort Cases.
You know, the thing is that, you know, the numbers haven't changed, by the way, David, and we are still seeing kids entering a system that, by the way, was built to actually take care of our children, to take care of our children when their parents of origin, their family of origin couldn't take care of them. But what we've realized throughout the years and now actually the centuries is we have a system that is not broken. We have a system that's shattered. And I know that firsthand. I grew up in the system. I was one of those numbers. I was a kid that was handed a trash bag. I was a kid that was expected to feel less than and become less than because of how society looked at me. And by the way, they looked at me because society decided to put the F word in front of me. And I don't mean the dirty word. See, yeah. The thing that we have a problem here in our country is that we continue to feel that labels are necessary. But what we need to understand is that when we place those labels, we immediately step ground our kids, putting them down further. And that happened to me. But I decided to do something different. I decided to not have a system define me, but me to define myself. But, you know, as my journey went through my life, I realized that the thing I was missing was being a dad. I wanted to be a dad my entire life because I never had those kind of parents. And I didn't even have those kind of foster parents, by the way. But I wanted to be one of those parents, a parent who went to their sports games, who had birthday parties for their kids, who just was there and loved them unconditionally. And 17 years ago, that dream came true when my husband and I adopted not one, but four kids. But the saddest part, David and Julie, is that they came carrying a trash bag, a trash bag. See, Nelson Mandela said it so clearly. All of us in society are judged by the way we treat our children. Well, guess what? Kids in foster care, they don't belong to any of your listeners and viewers, and they don't belong to me. They belong to us, to us. And for me, I wanted to let my children know that our legacy is about what we give and not what we take. And so with that, we started a movement, and that movement was to eliminate trash bags in foster care. And since that time, 13 years ago, I'm happy to say that with the help of amazing humans, we have gathered and we have delivered over 300,000 backpacks with all the essential items to all the kids throughout our country, all 50 states, by the way, DC and Puerto Rico.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And David and I have been privileged enough to come to the headquarters of Comfort Cases and watch and see a little bit of behind the scenes and packing cases. And we had the opportunity to do that, which felt amazing. So when, you know, a lot of people don't know your story, and thank you for sharing this, it's like you experienced this as a child. And then when you went to adopt your own children and you had these kids coming, what did you think when you saw those trash bags? Like, could you even believe that things hadn't changed?
You know, I have to say, and I, that could, by the way, great question, because I've not anybody, for me, it was immediate trauma.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
Immediate trauma, something that I had not thought about, something that I had not processed, by the way. And how that made me feel. But the first thing I thought about was, how was it making our children feel?
Yeah.
And, you know, we got to fast forward, because in 2019, Reese and I jumped again and had another kid. And this time he was 18 years old. And again, mind you, a kid who'd been in the system since, you know, he was like five, in and out, 11 years or something, 11 homes. And he still had trash bags. So we're not talking about, oh, this happened in the 70s and again in the 80s, because I was 70s, 80s, then again in the 2000s. But then again, in 2019, we're still not even thinking about it. And by the way, I want every social worker who's listening, and I know there's a lot of them, this isn't your fault. It's not your fault. You know, we don't give them the anything to give something more than a trash bag, you know, and everybody's like, oh, but I donated that luggage I found in my basement. By the way, kids in foster care, they don't want your stinky, smelly, used luggage. These kids deserve new. Yeah. And so that's what we did, is we made sure they got that. And now, gosh, I tell you, I tell people all the time, I don't have a job. I have a purpose. My purpose is to make tomorrow better than it is today.
Can you tell us a little bit about what goes into the backpacks? And I think that that's so important. It's like the kids don't deserve some bag that was in the basement. Like, right. Tell us what each kid, when you are packing them, what do the kids get?
So, for instance, one thing that we make sure is that our backpacks are all different. Okay. We do not brand anything. Children are not walking billboards. Okay. So our backpacks are different. Then every child gets a brand new pair of pajamas. We do pajamas from birth up to the age of 21. Our older kids get running shorts and t-shirts. We don't allow any nightgowns. We really want to make sure that those pajamas are brand new. We put a couple pair of Bombas socks. We make sure that girls over the age of 10 get feminine products. We wrap that in a ribbon of love. Then we make sure that every child gets their own lotion, their own shampoo, their own conditioner, and their own bar of soap. See, the kids that walk into our system, they walk into a house of strangers. We expect them to assimilate immediately. We expect them to pick up a bar of soap that everybody in that house has used. And by the way, they don't even know their middle names or their favorite colors. We wouldn't use a stranger's bar of soap, and neither should they. And then I make sure every child gets a toothbrush and toothpaste. I tell people all the time, my teeth, and my teeth are beautiful. They cost me an arm and a leg, mm-hmm. because in foster care, dental hygiene is on the back of the burner. Then I want to make sure that every kid gets an activity. Julie, you probably know this better than anyone. Kids come into the system and they go to the holding centers. We call them rainbow rooms to make us feel good. But we know when they walk into that room, it's broken toys, broken crayons, tore up coloring books. So what we do is we give a brand new coloring book and crayons to kids under the age of 10. And kids over the age of 10 get journals and pen and pencil sets. The Pediatric Association did a study about 8 years ago, and they said that kids in foster care and that are adopted who journal will test higher than other kids. I could have saved them the millions of dollars of research if they just would have called me. Then I want to make sure that every kid gets a stuffed animal. See, I don't care whether you're a newborn or you're 59 years old. We all love a good stuffy. And then finally, my son, Grayson, he was actually 5 years old when we packed our very first case. He's now 18. He's going to be 19 in about 2 weeks. He said, Daddy, we have to put a blankie in every case. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Grayson, a blanket? I was like, these kids aren't cold. He said, I know, Daddy, but every time they wrap themselves up in their blankie, they know we love them. My friends, nice. That's what we all want. Yeah, we want to be loved. We want to know we matter. So that's what's in our cases.
Let me ask you this, Rob, on the functional side. How did it happen? Were you able to put these cases together? I mean, you didn't go out to wherever and buy thousands of backpacks yourself. How were you able as, and I know you've got a business background. So what did you put to work and how were you able to put this organization together so that it's at the level that it is today?
Well, first of all, I realized that I needed the largest corporation in the world to help me. And that corporation is our human race. Okay. I'm a true believer that if you go into your community, and let's all understand something, your community, it's not your zip code. Your community is our human race. And I know for a fact that if you go into your community and you tell them of a problem and you educate them of the problem and you then tell them how we solve it, they'll come together and they will solve it. At any given day, we have thousands of packages arriving within our national center. We have people from all over the country. And by the way, we're international now. So all over the world, people who are donating. I don't have large corporate sponsors who are writing big checks. But what I do is I have Mary down in Delaware. I have George in Texas. I have Sarah in Arizona who are writing my $10 a month, $20 a month check to be able to take this mission and move it. But the thing that I've seen in this 13 years of what, you know, again, my awakening, is that as a young person, and even in my 40s, I thought my community had failed me. I thought my community had failed all the children in foster care. But what I've learned is this, my community didn't fail me, and they don't fail kids in foster care. The problem is my community is not educated about kids like me. They're not educated about the amazing people and kids who are in our system, who, by the way, they are our leaders of tomorrow. Leaders of tomorrow. So when you invest in a leader, you don't hand them a trash bag. You hand them hope and dignity.
Yeah, I love that.
A good way
I
to
love
put
that.
It.
Yeah. So you have this organization that has grown just like, as you said, you're international and you have helped thousands and thousands of kids bring back some dignity. How do you continue to build on that? What do you see? You know, what are your hopes? What are your dreams for Comfort Cases?
You know, my dream is to not have this charity, but I know that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, we've been able to pass laws. We've been able to pass laws throughout the country. We've passed them in Texas, Maryland, New York. We are getting ready to pass it in Virginia, North Carolina. We passed it in Colorado. What I want to see is I want to see a federal bill. I want to see a bill that attaches a budget to it that truly, truly eliminates trash bags, which means we are going to give social workers the funds they need to be able to purchase things. And what we did is about 7 years ago, Reese and I went to Briggs & Riley and we got them to design a 32-inch duffel bag that folds up at the size of a book. The reason we did that is because I was hearing social workers all over the country talk about they had no space. They had no storage. People were dropping dirty, stinky luggage off. And again, they didn't have anywhere to put it. So when we had this bag designed, it retails for roughly $129. I get them for $13 a piece. And since then, we've given out over 190,000 of these bags free. Free. Wow. So what do I want? I want someone to listen. I want them to go to comfortcases.org and I want them to pledge $13 a month. $13 a month is going to help us continue to solve this mission. And I know we can do it. So that's what I truly hope for.
Love that. Love that. Well, we believe in your mission. We believe in your purpose. This couldn't be something that is inspiring. It's upsetting, right, to hear this. And I think people should feel upset and feel the magnitude of the impact of what it is like for children to carry around a trash bag, to feel less than. And I love what you're doing. We support you fully. And
let me ask, before you keep talking about how much we support and what we do, I have another question, which is sort of strays a little bit outside the corporate and the business and the charity into your personal life and with your kids. Okay. How do the kids feel? And they probably feel differently, but is there a sense one way or the other with your children about that this is what you do for a living? And this, as you know, how do you separate what you do for all these other children across the world now and what you do for your children at home?
Well, you know what, first of all, great question.
I'm a lawyer. I ask a lot of good questions.
Yeah. I don't separate it. I don't separate it. And let me tell you the reason I don't separate it is because our children know. And I've actually had several of our kids say this, Dad, it's okay to share you. You know, I'll miss something because I have to go and do a packing party. My kids, they get it. And now that they're older, I can see in their eyes how proud they are. You know, I had a teacher tell me just recently in a parent-teacher conference that they overheard one of my kids talking with their friends. And one of our kids said that, oh, you're just privileged. You come from rich people. And my son and the teacher heard. My son said, no, that's not true. My dad came from nothing. My dad has worked so hard to give to so many people. And why has he done that? It's because my dad's a good human. When this teacher told Reese and I this, I thought I was going to start crying because he got it. You know, he got it. And the thing is that my son is right. I just want us to be good humans and realize that, you know, our legacy, and by the way, we all should know this, our legacy is what we give and not what we take, not what we take. And that to me is something important. You know, as we end this, we all have the same thing. No matter what your race is, your sexual orientation, your income bracket, each and every one of us will be given the same thing in life, and that is a dash. The poem is written about it, the year you're born, your dash in the year you die. I've said this and I'll say it again. I want my dash to shine. I want my kids to walk by and see that dash and say, my dad, he didn't talk about it. My dad, he did it.
Yeah. You know, every time I listen to you and we've talked about around different things, it always makes me feel good about people.
Yeah.
And what I want, the message I think that needs to be said to our parents out there, our grandparents out there who take time with their children and their grandchildren and put them to bed and read them books and take them places and do things with them, is that there's lots of kids who don't have you. And for $13 a month, you can help one of those kids. And you can help this good human, Rob Scheer and his husband, Reese, do for other kids what he's done over the last 13 years. Rob, as always, we thank you for taking your time. It's time for dinner for you, and it's great to see you.
Can you tell people where they can go to find you, to help you, to inspire, you know, get inspired?
You better believe it. First of all, I have to say I'm sorry about my dogs, as you all know.
No, we have two dogs here, and I'm surprised they haven't been barking.
I have one that's given me the stink eye because I told him to be quiet, and he's not very happy about it.
No, you don't need to apologize for the dogs.
Nope.
Well, listen,
dogs and kids allowed.
Yes, thank you. Well, anybody can go to comfortcases.org. They can learn about our organization. They can learn to see how they can impact their community, because at the end of the day, I really hope that each and every one of us know that we have the ability to write our own book, to write our own book. We get to write those pages. We get to say when the period is, and we also get to say when is the next chapter. So just keep being good humans. That's all we can do.
All right, Rob, thanks again for taking the time to be with us and part of this really cool effort that we're part of called Podcast-thon, where 1,000 or more podcasters are going to be posting episodes about their favorite charities. You are certainly, and your organization is certainly ours. This is David and Julie Bullitt. We are the Bullitts, T-H-E-B-U-L-I-T-T-S. We'll see you next time on Conversations for Couples.
The podcast.
All right, she did it good this time.
I got it right.
Julie Bullitt is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullitt is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist, and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.